or a wealthy man, I would be supporting those projects who have done their homework, who are getting along with the community, and are going to offer something that the vast majority of the community is looking forward to.
Okay. Well, I'd take this moment to remind everyone you're listening to WRIR-LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Indie Radio. We've been talking to Joel Katz with the Carpenter Center, formerly of the Virginia Performing Arts Foundation, about some of the controversy surrounding downtown Richmond. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call. The number here is 649-9737. That's 649-9737. We can't put you on the air, but I'll be happy to take the questions and pose them. Mr. Katz, I understand, has an engagement soon he'll have to leave for, but we're going to continue for a little bit longer. And I'd like to talk about some of the ideas coming forward for, I don't want to say solutions, but alternatives maybe. So, but first, let's hear some more music. This is Terry Allard, and local musician, and maybe another apropos titled cut, I Don't Want to Know. Okay, we're back. That was Terry Allard with I Don't Want to Know. And I apologize, the mics were on during some of that, so. Oh, boy, I'm not used to doing these long interviews, but it's been great having you in here and talking about stuff, and a lot of people are interested in what's going on. And I just wanted to read a few more quotes from the city council from that meeting in 2003, because I think they are worthy of noting. Councilwoman Dolores McQuinn, she voted yes for the meals tax increase, and she said, quote, I also like the fact the stipulation that was put in that if the Performing Arts Foundation didn't demonstrate that they could fully fund this project by a certain time, then the resources would also be withdrawn from them. So that doesn't leave us hanging out there. It puts responsibility and accountability on everyone that's involved. And I thought that was a good quote to have, especially now that looks like Mayor Wilder is going to hold them to that. We had one question come up over the break, and that was, now that you've left, who there at the Performing Arts Foundation is kind of knows the ropes as far as the dealing with artists and booking venues, and you know, who has the experience there now that you've left?
I'm sad to say no one. The chief operating officer of the foundation is a former executive director of the Richmond Symphony, so she's got some experience. But I don't believe Brad Armstrong has negotiated for an artist or promoted a show or helped a community group learn how to use a theater to raise funds. There's a bit of a void in experience there. No one from the entertainment industry is on the board. No artists are on the board that I'm aware of. So they've got some challenges ahead if, in fact, they're going to open some facilities that need to be run and programmed.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because I saw in the paper this morning, in fact, in the daily paper, that there is other people who are coming forward now saying that there's not really the support for this project. And I think we're coming up to a point where people are going to have to figure out what we're going to do. And I've heard lots of different alternatives suggested. One being that the land where the Performing Arts Foundation wants to build this new art center be turned into a park. I've heard ideas that it be turned into a performing arts high school. You know, of course, I think everyone is interested that I've talked to is interested in having the Carpenter Center properly renovated and some of the other theaters as well. What are your thoughts on some of the alternatives that come forward?
Well, I think first and foremost, the Carpenter Center needs to be renovated. Its stage needs to be expanded, and it needs to be reopened as soon as possible. The construction time to do those things is anywhere from 12 to 18 months, but because of the foundation's plan, it was going to require closer to 3 years to do it because the design of the Carpenter Center improvements were very much tied into the music hall design, and there was no interest in separating the two projects so one could begin while the other was still under development. It's an all or nothing situation. And as Terry Allard was just singing to us, Brad Armstrong doesn't want to know what the alternatives are because he believes in his plan most fervently, and he will not stray from his plan regardless of what the conditions in fundraising or community opinion may be today.
That strikes me as well. I mean, you really don't think he's gonna turn back and say, you know, hey, we made some mistakes. We need to go back to the drawing board on certain things. Where do we approach ground zero on this?
Well, I think what we may see happen is more people coming forward and publicly supporting or not supporting this project who have been silent to date. There are board members of the Carpenter Center who are very concerned about this project, who have come forward and were quoted in today's paper. There are those who have been quoted off the record to the media who are afraid to have their names surface because they're very powerful business leaders on that board of the foundation, that a lot of commerce is going on, and there are businessmen and women who are afraid they're going to lose business if they're too vocal. But I think we're reaching a point where some of those individuals may not speak out, but they may resign from the board and vote with their feet. I just don't know. I know I've had a tremendous number of calls and emails in the last 2 weeks